strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 16th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Puya. How you doing, Puya?
Lovely. I'm going to be doing lovely as long as the Friday mornings are bountiful with information. And this week is no different. I had a near heart attack watching that HOH play out yesterday. And I'm just happy that there's some hope today. There's some hope still. There's a little bit that's going to go down today probably before we find out anything. But I'm cautiously optimistic, Taryn.
Yes. So there's a lot to get through here from yesterday. We are, of course, here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. It was day 9 in the house. And we saw the final moments of the Frenchie HOH reign and the starting moments of the new Kyland HOH reign. You know, we'll see where this goes. There's a lot to get through here. And there's a lot of moving pieces in place. A lot of people are very excited about some of the events of last night. A lot of people are very pessimistic about the future of this week. We still don't have a solid grasp on what Kyland will do at this time. But we do know that there are multiple plans in place to try to influence him in one direction or another. So, let's get started here and just quickly talk through some of the things that happened prior to the episode and the eviction. Obviously with Travis and Alyssa on the block, there was no campaigning because it's Travis. But Tiffany, Azza, and Claire did talk about the possibility of there being some kind of big alliance in the house. Tiffany said that, she always said that, hey, If you're not in the big alliance, if you don't know about the big alliance early in the game, then you're not in it. And I don't know about a big alliance. So that's something to be concerned about. And so they started talking about like, well, who would be in this big alliance? Probably most of the guys. Azza mentions that if there are women involved, it's probably the women that Frenchie did not include in his whole French kisses thing, because weirdly, when he made an alliance with all of the women, he happened to exclude two women from that alliance, Alyssa and Whitney. Why exclude them? Because he's already in some kind of big alliance with them, is the theory.
It's a pretty darn good theory, given that they've had a whole week to analyze this man's behavior. And yes, there's been a lot of moments where it's been hard to analyze because it makes no damn sense. I believe Tiffany not only nails this, but does it so masterfully. It was very fun to watch her unpack it all. And I think it's very obvious what's going on here. And I think they know what the two names are. The two that were not in that alliance, they know who they are. And they know that they're probably part of this big one, too. I had a lot of fun watching this play out.
Yes. So they also, of course, talk about wanting to go after Brent. That's kind of been the plan so far. And they are still going for it. Brittany is going to talk with Big D as well prior to the eviction. She is still frustrated that she is getting all the blame for this Women's Alliance thing. She's mad at Frenchie about it, and she's going to vent at Big D, and he's going to sort of like just be a sounding board, which is his primary role here in the house so far, not really giving much in return. But Brittany's still upset about that whole situation. Which leads us into the eviction. Again, not really much going on. Something that will be relevant later is that Sarah Beth did have conversations with a few people about Derek. She talked to Alyssa about Derek. She talked to Christian about Derek. And this was over the course of not just yesterday, but the day before. I think I may have talked about one of those conversations. But they seemed like rehashes. They seemed like, you know, Sarah Beth had been talking about wanting to go after Derek X because he didn't trust their team. And Alyssa was trying to make sure that Sarah Beth would go after Derek X. So she also talked to Christian about it. Christian also encouraged Sarah Beth to go after Derek X because he wasn't trustworthy. Meanwhile, he was secretly trying to make a deal with Derek X that they wouldn't go after each other. Sarah Beth also talked to Claire about Derek X. I did talk about that conversation as well. That was, I believe, the day before even then. And Claire was trying to stand up for Derek X and help encourage Sarah Beth to work with him to some degree. Just setting that up for what we will get, which is that in the episode, we see Travis is evicted. Kyland is going to win the next HOH. And one of the first conversations we see with Kyland is with Sarah, where he's telling her that she is the only one he's going to tell this to this week, but she's safe. She has nothing to worry about. And she's like, cool. And she says, look, I've talked with Christian earlier about Derek X, and he said that he's not willing to work with him. But when I talked to Claire, she seemed to be willing to work with Derek X. So if we wanted to try and form something, like, what about me, you, Claire, Tiffany, who's with Claire, and Derek X? That seems to fit the criteria of what we were looking for, which is some kind of big alliance that we're both included in, because they've been sharing their alliances and neither of them are in the same ones. And so it would be beneficial to them to be in one alliance that is the same alliance. And so that is a group that she is pitching here. Kyland does not really give a definitive answer about how he even feels about that alliance. But that's what Sarah Beth is thinking, and she's going to talk with Claire and Tiffany about it a little bit later as well.
This is a slam dunk idea. For Kyland, this is his team, remainder of his team without Travis and Sarah Beth on a team and Derek X. I feel like Derek X, you know, congratulations, Derek X. You're finally in a proposed alliance. That's also a big achievement in the game of Big Brothers. I love that for Derek. But like you said, the key thing to remember here is Kylan's not really committed to this yet. He hasn't put a ring on it. So this is very above the surface, not finalized yet. But I have a feeling the other four parties of this five-person alliance are very much in, based on kind of the conversation that have gone on the rest of the night. So it really just needs the bow on it from Kylan. And we're looking at a fun new alliance to root for here.
Yes, and this is the result of the work of Claire and Tiffany and Kyland on Sarah Beth to get her to come around on Derek X. She had been continuing to talk about him. Now, so she had initially wanted to target him, and Kyland initially was saying, I don't really care. Then Kyland either had a change of heart or just decided, you know what, I'm going to try a little bit to stick up for Derek X. And so he did with Sarah Beth. And Claire did as well, and Tiffany did as well. And then Sarah Beth continued to talk about Derek X with people like Christian and Alyssa. And at the time, it was like, what? I thought we were past this, Sarah Beth. But it turns out she was feeling them out about this and didn't actually still want to go after Derek X. And her conversation with Derek X was genuine when she said, hey, I'm sorry that we haven't talked more, and that I would like to work with you moving forward. And so that's what we have. That's her idea of where she wants to go with this alliance. And that would be very advantageous for Kyland, who is currently barely clinging to life in the Slaughterhouse group, who actively wanted him gone last week, and I'm sure would try to get him gone soon after his HOH reign ends if nothing changes here. And so this is a great way for Kylan to consolidate power in his own corner, where he's set up pretty well, because he not only has the cookout, meaning he's got Tiffany and he's got a few extra pieces lying around to help keep him safe in other corners of the house. But he also has Sarah Beth locked in within this group, as well as Derek to some degree. And he is not only not at the bottom of this group, but potentially at one of the biggest power positions within this group. And nobody really knows how tight he is with Sarah Beth, which is a very good spot to be in if you're going to have something like this. And again, not only that, but he also has those connections outside of a group like this. And it's one of those moments where I can put myself in that position and I can see the light of, like, I literally can see a path to the end of this game for Kylan right now if he plays his cards right. Will he play his cards right is going to be the question.
And that's a whole other question, Taryn. I do think that Kylan doesn't know. But what Kylan needs to know is that in every other alliance you're in, you're closer to the bottom. This one, you're in a more pivotal point. So this will be a good one for you. I mean, I don't want to cut ahead and make assumptions. There's no world where he doesn't take this alliance, right? He doesn't be like, this is a good, like, there is. I don't want to be in that world. There is a world. No, I'm just, I just hope it works out for him because I know how much he needs it. You know how much he needs it. And here's hoping that he takes it.
Here's hoping. Okay, so we also had some things happen with the vote. Tiffany and Derek F, aka Big D, decided to vote for Alyssa to go home. Those were rogue votes. Big D did it to, I just think, cause chaos and try to blame Derek X to some degree. And Tiffany did it on the behest of Frenchie. And some people took some issue with that, thinking that this is perhaps not the best idea in the world. The result of this is that there was a bit of a rogue vote hunt. Nothing too major here, but, you know, Brent and Xavier were trying to figure out who it was. And this was a little bit confusing, but apparently Big D was trying to say, I did one of them, like trying to take the blame for one of them, but they didn't believe him. But then maybe they thought, okay, but maybe it was him. And then also Frenchie apparently has told Brent that he knows who one of the votes is, but they are trying to remain anonymous. He is clearly talking about Tiffany. There's some information going around, but one of the keys here is that, nobody believes it was Derek X.
Yeah, I mean, once the second rogue vote came into the picture, it did nothing but help Derek X, which is great. I mean, if there's something I hate is that not only are we going to have a big majority house vote, but then also we're going to throw one or two down to blame two people and just have a reason to villainize them further. And believe me, Derek X doesn't need to be villainized any further. He's had plenty to deal with on his own without that. So that's a good thing for him. I did love that Big D tried to claim that he was one of the votes and they just didn't buy it at first. They're like, nah, you're not. You're just trying to claim this to claim it. This is not a thing. We're not going to let this happen. But Taryn, I would be, you know, I wouldn't be a good fan if I didn't complain for just 2 seconds about the fact that we didn't get feeds till after the West Coast airing. Mm-hmm. It's criminal. Like, listen, I know that we've taken a lot of things from BB Can 9, right? In that, you know, it's been a lot of fun so far. Feeds have been great. Cast is great. We love everything. But then they took the feeds cut stuff from BB Canada. And now there's more feeds cuts. And I'm like, I don't like this, but I'll deal with it if you just give me the feeds after the broadcast. I feel like a lot got missed here because we did have to spend the first 30, 40 minutes trying to piece this together of, oh, so there was vote drama in the in-between. There was rogue vote drama. I mean, thankfully, we don't have to deal with it, but I kind of want the choice to opt out if I want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of the best parts of Big Brother US live feeds are how quickly they come up after competitions. Sometimes the awning or whatever it is, is lifting from the doors and they're coming in from the backyard right after a competition as the feeds come up. And there, not always, but there can be immediate reaction from a competition result or, you know, drama that's playing out from a vote. A lot of the Big Brother 20, you know, chaos happened in those hours immediately following an eviction when people were hunting for rogue votes when JC was in groups of people like, who did it? To think that, you know, that we could have missed those moments, honestly would have made the entire season considerably worse. It's pretty unfortunate. And, you know, I don't know exactly where this is coming from. It feels like, did they take the $250,000 that they were using to pay people to manage the live feeds and put it into the prize pool? I don't know what's going on here, but whatever it is, it's bad.
Yeah, no, it feels like there's two things. It feels like they're just using the same game plan they did last season, which that's fine for the All-Stars if you want to like pamper them up, give them a little breathing room, whatever. You don't need that here. Stop that. This is not the place for it anymore. Please give it to us. The other thing is that obviously it's a momentum killer, isn't it? Like aside from me enjoying it, we know it's a momentum killer because I'm so pumped at 9:05 to jump on, have the feeds on one side, have the podcast on one side. When the feeds cut, too bad. I got the podcast anyway. My life is fine. And not having that, I have to wait till like, 1 a.m. or midnight, sorry, my time, to then watch. And then again, you have to piece all the stuff together. Don't love that part. But also, I also should look at the other side of the coin, Taryn, and be grateful, I guess, that literally, if not for the first week of feeds would have gone live last night for the first time. And that would have been such a miss.
Well, that Big Brother Canada would have worked that way, yeah.
Canada would have done it that way. I'm still not over the whole, like, they've, like, emulated the Canadian feed system. But, yeah, I mean, I have my feelings about this a little bit. But thankfully, we got a lot of good stuff after the feeds came on that I'm willing to live my life after this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... So we got that, you know, people trying to figure out what's going on here with the vote. We're going to hear from Tiffany. There's a fun thing that's happening, which is that now that the bathroom is closed off with a door, we're getting, camera talks in the bathroom, which is, not very usual. It does happen. It did happen occasionally, but usually only, at the end of a season when there aren't many people left, and you can kind of camera talk wherever you want. Tiffany gets to camera talk in the bathroom in a house of 15 people, which is pretty fun. Any opportunities to, let people talk to the cameras, I think is great. Especially when it's Tiffany. This was a very exciting conversation for me to listen to her conversation with the cameras, aka us, for a few different reasons, right? She's going to go to the cameras and she says, look, Frenchie is dangerous. He runs his mouth. But he trusts me, which means that, he has some value to my game, essentially. She wants us to know. So I want you guys to know I'm not being stupid about that rogue vote. I couldn't say no to Frenchie and have him feeling like it's possible that I'm not with him. I need to keep him close. It's best for me for him to think that he has me. Keep your enemies close. And even though he trusts me, and, you know, probably didn't even think about putting me on the block last week. I want him on the block this week with Brent. I want him and Brent on the block. That's what I want. This guy's dangerous. So what I really liked about this is that, she understood what to do in that moment, right? He asks her about this rogue vote. She knows that she can't trust him to not run his mouth. She also knows that it's important for her game, if he's in a powerful position, to do her best to have him convinced that she's willing to do whatever he wants her to do. So she did that and did it so convincingly that she managed to convince a decent portion of the fan base along with Frenchie, right? So not only did she know how to do that and she did it convincingly, but here's what I really like. She also knew that there would be a portion of the fan base who would be skeptical and worried about that decision and wanted to explain herself to us because she knew that people would probably be like, what is she doing? Doing Frenchie's bidding. And so she wanted to make sure that we understood where she was coming from and explained herself in a way that kind of mirrored my explanation of it days before. Like, she understands exactly what she's doing. And that's, I think, what's so exciting about Tiffany in this game. And it's not something that we often see. And even when you do get people who really know what they're doing, it's hard to know exactly that we know for sure that they know what they're doing, or they're just kind of operating on instinct and they happen to be doing right things at right times, but wrong things at some times. But when they talk to the cameras and they explain what they're doing, and they explain it in a way that makes it clear that they know what they're doing, that's a rarity in this game. And it's very exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's already hard enough to have a read on what's going on in the house, right? Like, so many things can be happening. You could get lost. You could have misinformation on your side. It's not easy to both try and have a finger on the pulse of what's happening in the house and then to think ahead to potentially what things are being misinterpreted by the people at home. And using a time like this to explain everything was delightful. I got to say, this was the bright spot of the night, seeing Tiffany talk to us both here and then jokingly earlier in the night when she talked about wanting Brent out, spelled it out to us on the camera, and then did the flight attendant directions. Loved everything we got from Tiffany. And I think that ultimately this gave me more positivity about Tiffany full well, not only knowing what she was doing with the hinky vote, but then also being like, I'm going to be in control of this narrative. I'm not going to let Frenchie be my demise. Trust me. Trust me, America. Like, okay, we trust you. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Azza and Brittany are going to talk a bit. Brittany is feeling a bit worried because she feels like she could end up on the block this week. But they do decide collectively that, you know, Frenchie is probably going to be the person that competes in the wildcard competition this week, which, you can maybe understand if you think that Frenchie is capable of saving people on your team and you think that he has the best chance of winning. But definitely not worth any of that if you think that you have a chance of going up on the block.
Yeah, definitely not. I think they're banking on there being that magical wheel with all the numbers on it. So, by Frenchie being, strong-willed and loud, they've just given him the spot because I think he's wanted the spot. He's wanted the wild card comp. What they're going to have is a rude awakening. It's not clear at all what exactly is going to happen at this competition, but just based on the one line Julie gave us, I'm going to assume that it's only the winner getting safety. And then in order to get safety, they have to switch team, or they get the choice to switch team.
Yeah, so I think in order to be safe, they have to switch teams, and they can choose to not switch teams, but then they won't be safe.
There you go. Yeah, so they're safe from that team. They're the only ones safe. Now, if they switch team, we still don't know if they switch to the Queens because they're the safe team, or they switch to another team. Maybe we don't know. Are they going to then spin a wheel? We don't know. There's not a lot we don't know. What we do know is that if I'm Oz and Brittany, I'm not going to get safety if Frenchie wins. So.
We're going to get a lot from Kyland here. And most of it is that he is not going to be talking to anyone tonight about game. And I just want to say, forward, let's all collectively agree. No fan of the show should ever go on to Big Brother and ever win HOH and say, I don't want to talk game tonight. Well, let's wait until tomorrow. Never. Stop it. Nobody wants this. Why? What? I don't want to talk game tonight. Come on. Everybody is up to watch you guys do this. And when you delay these things, you're just, okay, we're waiting until tomorrow. Now everyone has to wake up early and listen to the morning one-on-ones. That's fine. Fridays can be fun. It can be fun to watch the one-on-ones on Fridays. But what people...
Well, who doesn't want those late night feeds? Who doesn't want those late night deliberations, right? Who doesn't want to deal with, I want to see Kylan get his feet kissed by everybody in the house. I want a little bit of that. I feel like that's what we're looking for, right, Taryn? That's what we're looking for.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a missed opportunity.
What people want is game talk on a Thursday night. That's what people want.
Exactly. Exactly. And once you hear that, especially if you are on the feed and you are staying up waiting for this HOH reveal, which is taking forever, this announcement is not something you want to hear.
Yeah. You can't stop my message, production. I'll come back every time.
They're like, all right, cut his feet.
All right. So here's the messaging from Kylan. He's going to have meetings with various groups of people and various individuals. And they are meetings in order to set up future meetings. And like right away, I feel like, why have I entered a corporate nightmare? Like, why are we having meetings to set up other meetings where you're prefacing what kind of meeting we're going to have in the future meeting? Why are we not just having the meeting right now?
Right. I mean, that, and also it's kind of like that this could have been an email. Like, you didn't need to do the extra meeting. Like, you really could just skip this one. You just had it tomorrow if you really wanted to.
Hours having meetings in order to set up the future meetings, and the meetings, so this is the setup that he's going to have, is he's going to first talk to his team for about 20 minutes. He's going to talk to Frenchie for about 20 minutes. And then he's going to do one-on-ones, 10 to 15 minutes each. And he's trying to coordinate it all to make it as time efficient as possible. And in order to coordinate it to be so time efficient, he spends hours setting it up prior to that time.
Yeah, it's a lot, because to me, it's one of two things, right? Either you don't want to have the meetings tonight and you want to do it all tomorrow, or you do them tonight. I feel like this way was kind of like you kind of did them tonight. So you're not getting that early sleep anyways. And then you're still doing them like proper tomorrow. So it's a lot of time spent. And then also ultimately, I feel like in the midst of all this, nothing really came out for us on this side as far as like what's happening. So didn't love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. Like it's an interesting, sort of, take on this. It reminds me a lot of, you know, again, like just meetings on top of meetings in an office, right? That are just like what are we doing here? So here's his pitch to everyone. He says, I'm not going to tell anybody that they're safe because, Frenchie told too many people that, that they were safe, and I'm not going to make that mistake. So I'm not going to tell anybody that they're safe. And I'm not going to say what I'm doing. He says I'm going to have like, you know, 15 minute one-on-ones with people tomorrow. He's going to have the longer conversations, with his team, with Frenchie. And he tells specifically the Slaughterhouse members of the house that he says, here's my preliminary thoughts. I think it makes sense to stick with the numbers. And I don't know what that means for who I'm going to nominate, but I think back to Derek and Cody. And Cody would want to make like an emotional move, and Derek would talk him down and say, hey, we got to stick with the numbers. And that's the smart play. And then they wrote it out and it worked for them. And so that's what I want to do. There may have been misunderstandings in the past, but you know, misunderstandings are often the cause of conflict in life. And as long as we communicate and don't misunderstand each other, then we'll be okay. And I, you know, I think that the move is to stick with the numbers.
That sounds like fun. But here's the problem. There are a lot of numbers that you might be affiliated with. So what does that mean for you? What's left? Because I think we all had the 3 hours, right? So we all did the calculations. Really, the only person that sticks out that is the clear cut, you're going to end up on the block because you're not in any of the numbers, is Brittany, right? Based on the math says Brittany will touch the block. Who's the second person, though? That I don't know.
Yes. So, here's my issue. If this is truly his logic, I think that probably the sort of like gut instinct from fans is like, I can't believe Derek is ruining another season. But here's the thing. When Derek says to stick to the numbers, he's doing so because he owns those numbers. He's not like Derek never advised Cody to not go after a person that put Derek on the block the week before because Derek never touched the block. Derek wanted to keep the numbers whole because that was what was working for him in a very, very good way. That is absolutely not the case for Kyland. And you might say, well, Kyland might not know that. He might think that he's in a good spot. But why in the world would he ever think that, considering the fact that he was just on the block last week from the person who started the alliance? If that doesn't tell you that you are not in the core of that alliance, I don't know what will. Add on to the fact that they barely talk game with him anymore. They all talk about not trusting him. And Frenchie actively and pretty openly campaigned to try to send him home last week. These are not your numbers, Kyland. These are somebody else's numbers. And if you try to protect them, then you are digging yourself your own grave.
Here's the complicated part in all this. The three people that have that were like, you know, on the target list. Three of those people, Christian, Alyssa, and Kyland. None of them should have any reason to trust anything Frenchie has to say. But I would argue that those three, not so much Kyland, the other two are pretty much in the Frenchie pockets. They're in that alliance fully ready to like go to the end. Kyland, there's a little bit of, you know, again, he'll have to remember that the veto was nearly not like there was, you know, conversation of, hey, don't use the veto on him, right? There was the, we're going to switch it over to Kyland to be the target. But I'll say this, right, about Kyland. Based on what we've seen in the last week and what we're seeing now, this is a lot on his shoulders to, like, go through all of this. I do think these conversations will help him realize that, hopefully, especially seeing how a lot of his closer allies are looking at this, and they want Frenchie gone. They want Brent gone. Like, they want them to be the targets. I gotta imagine in today's meetings, they're gonna set him straight with that, and they're gonna like make him think of those things. Because I do think there's a lot of people that are gonna try and make him think this way, that, the other way, and it's gonna be a lot on him. But I do think, and I believe, that this newly minted five, which haven't been minted yet, I just have a good feeling about Tiffany, Claire, Sarah B, also Derek, being able to make him realize this. So we'll hope. I mean, we're guaranteed the one-on-one. He's guaranteed it. So we're going to see these conversations happen today.
Yes. I think that the thing to look at here, if Kyland goes with the Slaughterhouse, is that if he's thinking that he is somehow both Derek and Cody, perhaps, within this alliance, then he's obviously mistaken, because the reality is, if, again, for whatever reason, Kyland decides to nominate, let's say, Brittany or Derek or anybody that is not in the Slaughterhouse, essentially, then we're looking at Nick from Big Brother 21. We're looking at a guy who is at the very bottom of an 8-person alliance, who was very nearly targeted the week before, just one power, and is being warned from people on the outside that he's on the bottom and that he needs to make a move. And if he doesn't listen to them, then we're probably going to see a similar trajectory here for Kyland. So let's hope that Kyland is not, Nick Macaroni. Let's move forward from that. While this is all happening, Tiffany, Claire, Sarah, and Sarah Beth are, as I said, going to talk about this sort of like potential, alliance that they might, create. I'm talking about Kyland and how he really needs to be doing something about this potential group that is, you know, they're being kind of vague about it, but, you know, there's definitely some kind of crew that, that they're not a part of. They just have these sort of preliminary discussions. Neither of them really understand how close the other is with Kyland. And by other, I mean Tiffany and Claire and then Sarah Beth. We're then going to get to really the bulk of the night comes from the next like three conversations in terms of like what's important and what might indicate where we go today. So Kylan is going to have his final conversation with Claire and Tiffany. So he's told Slaughterhouse, I'm sticking with the numbers. I'm not telling anyone they're safe, but I plan to stick with the numbers. And luckily that's vague enough that who knows what that ends up meaning, but that's what he's been telling them. And that's not super promising in terms of what he should be doing. But he talks to Claire and Tiffany and he explains to them the whole thing about not telling anyone and how he's going to do his meetings. And he says, look, I'm going to give you guys, 20 minutes. Everyone else is going to get, 10 to 15 minutes. But hey, maybe I can bump you to 30. I just love it. I just think it's hilarious. Tiffany says, okay, I hear that. If I were to give you just a little bit of advice from an outside perspective, Kylan, I would like for you to remember that this is a game and you will have to make decisions that will hurt people's feelings. And trying to read Kylan in this moment, when she says this, it's a game. You're going to have to hurt people's feelings. He says, it will. He's nodding. He's very, very much like, yes, this is exactly what I've been thinking. I will be hurting somebody's feelings. She says, look, it's always fair game for you to go after somebody that came after you. And at that, he drops his head. And she says, it's always fair to go back on your word. And then he sighed. Yeah, I know. That was not super promising to me because, again, he was very enthusiastic about the first statement, in part perhaps because he thought that she was talking about hurting somebody's feelings, which to me indicates Derek X. Then when she was more clear about where she was trying to go, somebody that came after you, break your word to somebody, he dropped. He like, oh, this is, well, that's not really what I was thinking. Not sure about that. So again, take that for what you will. Maybe she's changing her mind in this moment. Maybe that wasn't the right read on Kylan in this moment, but something to pay attention to. She says, look, there's a power in this house and it's not us. They try to make people feel included in it. And he deflects a bit. He says, I mean, I'm assuming that there's, different groups and that, that's the game. And he's again, deflecting from her point, not wanting to acknowledge what she's saying necessarily, because it's clear that where she's going, and he either doesn't want to concur with her in this moment for his own safety, or he genuinely doesn't agree with her. And then she says, well, that's, it's a game. That's why you should play it. And she says, look, I'm going to be even more clear here. I like Derek X. People are going to try and talk you against him, but he's on an island by himself. He wants to be with us. He's got nobody else. Nobody else wants him. I personally don't want him gone. And look, you can do what you want to do with this HOH, and you should do what you want to do with this HOH. You should do what you want to do. Nobody else wants you to do. Not me, not Claire, not anybody. Do what you want to do. But think about this. Me, you, Claire, Derek X, Sarah Beth. And he goes, these are names I like. And she says, look, if we add one more person, even just one more person, as long as it's, not somebody that was running the house last week, Aza, she'll do what you want. Even like X, Xavier, I don't trust anybody else outside of that. They're playing the crap out of this game and they're playing the crap out of us. So think about it. You've got a strong seven and those people can't be swayed away from you. Those are your people, and we would have the power. Khan's like, okay, I need to talk to Xavier more. That's what I need to talk to Xavier. Again, kind of sidestepping the issue, but mentioning that he needs to discuss it with Xavier potentially, and then deflects further by talking about Big D and how he feels about him. She kind of concludes it with, look, I know you're planning on talking to Frenchie. If he gives you advice on how to be HOH, just please do the opposite.
Throw it away. Yeah. So this conversation was interesting to me because there's a combination of both. Tiffany wasn't going like all in of making him commit to something in the room and like really pushing an agenda. It was like subtle, little subtle push, little subtle push, little subtle push. But then also you can tell Kylan doesn't want to commit to anything tonight. Like it's very clear to Kylan. Kylan just got a W. Kylan would like the house to be in a peaceful state. He wants to sleep it off. So even these conversations, I think they were supposed to be more of a let's structure the next day, but then also obviously a little bit's going to come out in them. He did his best to not commit to anything, which I think is good for him, but I like that there's food for thought. Cause if there's something we've learned about Kylan is that Kylan's going to analyze everything. He's going to think about all the avenues, right? And I think this is more food for thought for him leading to the next meeting. So do I think that Tiffany inceptioned him? No. I don't think he's going to wake up in the morning and be like, okay, what Tiffany said sound, that's it, I'm doing that. But I think he's going to have it in the back of his head. He's going to consider it when other stuff happens now. So I like that about that. I also like that Tiffany approaches this very, like, Tiffany knows her audience, and that's something in her game that I value. I think is the most valuable thing. She knows who to talk with, in what manner, and what's the best way to get to that person. And I think that this was good with him. Now, when she leaves, obviously, you know, Kai says, please don't let that woman be an actress. Like mm-hmm. he's a little bit, but that's because I think it's working on him. I do think he's like, I just don't want to be, you know, bamboozled, but I think it's working on him. We'll see what these meetings mean today. But mm-hmm. again, I'm cautiously optimistic, Taryn, because Kylan is a little bit of me in that when someone comes to me and they're putting their emotion in it a little bit, they're giving me a little bit of the feelings, I'm going to feel those feelings and I'm going to put them into consideration. So I respond well to things like this. So we'll see how it goes now and we'll see how it'll all play out. Also, because it's a battle of what is the battle here? It's Tiffany's word versus what? Maybe Frenchie's word. And I don't know. I back Tiffany. I'm putting money on Tiffany if I'm betting. You know, I know that Kylan's the ultimate decider, but I feel better about Tiffany than I would ever about Frenchie. So.
We will see. So, Tiffany and Claire are then going to leave the room. And Kylan, as you said, says, please don't let that woman be an actress. I would die. He goes on to say, and this is hard to parse out because he's whispering to himself. And again, he doesn't always complete the full thought. So we don't have necessarily the full picture. So I'll try to give you my interpretation of what I'm hearing here. But I'm not even leaving things out. He starts with, I would make that group, us three, Sarah Beth, Christian, Derek, does not specify which Derek, unfortunately. So like the Kings, Christian, Xavier, that would be great. That's what he says. My interpretation of this is that he's thinking about, okay, if I did make this group that Tiffany and Sarah Beth are proposing, then the consistency of it would be a little bit different than what they're proposing. And he would want potentially Christian involved, and he would want potentially Xavier involved. And again, I don't know for sure if he wants Derek X or Derek F. I'm assuming Derek X, since that's the one that has been talked about as like, let's involve him. But it's not necessarily a guarantee because again, they have the same name. He says Derek. But I think he's thinking through, okay, yeah, this could be a good group for me. Now, again, what that means for his nominations, I'm not entirely sure. And I think that he then goes on to say, I could have misheard this or be interpreting it incorrectly, but he says something along the lines of, I have no idea who I'm going to put up. I'm not even going to think of anybody until... And then he stops. He doesn't finish the thought. I'm assuming... If that's what he was saying, that he doesn't know who he's going to put up yet, what he means is he's not even going to think about it until after the wildcard competition, which is something that he had talked about before, because the wildcard competition could theoretically eliminate four of his options. And so I think he's potentially not even thinking about what he wants to do yet until after the wildcard competition concludes.
Yeah.
Again, though, I could be misinterpreting what he's saying here.
Well, he doesn't outright say that, but I think that's sound decision, right? Because we just saw last week, Christian is the name on Frenchie's mouth. Christian's the one who wins the wild card. Christian is safe. Now you've put a name out there that you can't take back, and quite a few people know. So I think there's a combination of that as well, where I think that Kylan will like to make this decision at the latest possible time, because he wants all the information. He wants to run through as many scenarios as possible. I also think that the wildcard thing has something to do with it as well, because again, you can't make your noms until after that competition, and that competition will remove people from the pot. So, and given that you do not necessarily know who exactly is going to be playing, you don't want to call someone. Like, imagine, like, he says, I want to put up Brittany, right? And then now Brittany hears it, and then this circulates, and then now Brittany's pushing to play the comp. Like, it is better. Like, and I think, again, Kylan's role is, I want to have a peaceful time in this house. This spells the most peace. So I do think that he's going to be tight-lipped about it. I think the meetings are going to go as normal. He's going to probably, hopefully, take in more information than he's giving. And then he's going to start figuring out what he wants to do, but I still think he's going to keep it close to the chest until after the wildcard comp.
Yes, and specifically about Christian, because Christian, again, is somebody that could have been included on Sarah Beth's end had he talked about being willing to work with Derek X, and is now being again talked about by Kylan as somebody that could be involved in this group. Now, this, I believe fully, would be a big mistake on their end. Christian is not somebody that is trustworthy for anybody in this group. And they all kind of trust him too much. Even people like Tiffany, although we'll hear a little bit more from her about Christian later on. Something that I actually, accidentally skipped here, prior to the Kylan setting up the meeting stuff, is that, Christian, first of all, was like very cozy with Alyssa, following the eviction episode. And, later on in the night, ended up revealing to her, he said, you know, in Big Brother 16, like, you had the bomb squad, but then, you know, within that, you had the detonators. That's what's happening here. There's slaughterhouse. But then within the slaughterhouse is the butchers. And he tries to explain the whole situation to her. And it's pretty funny because she is very confused about the timing of all of this. And she was like, oh, so you, wait, you knew that I was going up on the block? Was that, because she was like, the butchers formed before slaughterhouse? He was like, yeah. Like before the nominations? Like, yeah. So you knew I was going up? No, nobody knew. I was like, I don't understand. Did you fake that fight with him? Like, no, he was really coming for me. Like, so, but this is real. Like, yeah. Very confusing. But basically his pitch here is, okay, this is the butchers, but, we don't trust everyone in the butchers. Xavier, Kylan, they're not really, these people are not really even part of Slaughterhouse at this point. We're not really into them. So what I'm trying to do is bring you into the butcher's side of things, the real core, of it all. And so Christian is really, you know, giving up the goods here to Alyssa with his game. And, Alyssa still has a lot of vested interest in the Slaughterhouse as a whole. Especially if she thinks she's approaching the core of it. And, if Christian gets involved in some kind of Kylan, Tiffany, Derek X alliance, you'd best believe, Alyssa's hearing about it. And if she's not a part of it as well, then, things might go a little bit wrong.
Yep, this is very true. And Alyssa was pretty irritating for the most part last night for me, because Alyssa is the one. She was like, I don't care how he's feeling. I don't care if he's tired. If you want, we're having that meeting tonight. We have to lock him in tonight. And fair game. Like, you know, again, irritating for me on the outside looking in. In the game, you're trying to get solidify your position. That's fine. But I was very surprised that Christian spilled the beans on this, because you never know how people are going to react to some kind of information like this. Of like, hey, you know, the big alliance we're both in, I'm in a smaller part of that. That's got the majority, just so you know, but also we don't trust two people. I don't know what he gains from this. Does he gain more of Alyssa's trust? I feel like Alyssa already trusted him about the same. I don't think that If anything, this raised more questions for her about him and his intentions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in Christian's mind, right, his game is centered around Big D and Frenchie. Those are his two final two deals. And his truer final two deal is with Big D. But Frenchie has continued to show that he is not very reliable. And so I think that he is transitioning away from Frenchie and toward Alyssa, and he feels a lot closer to Alyssa. He's been spending a lot of time with her. And so bringing her into the core is going to be good for him. In addition to that, I think even Big D, they don't talk that much. He's Alyssa is the person that he talks to the most. I think that what we're going to find is that pretty soon, if not already, Alyssa has become his number one. And I also think he's kind of into her. I would expect this to continue forward, especially if neither of them are targeted anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the big thing again, the big takeaway for me from Alyssa last night was that she really wants to solidify something and get that meeting going and get everything sorted and just be safe. And also she was really going to be the one to belabor the point of who voted, who were the two votes, which to me, I've never understood as the person who was on the block and survives. I could care. I do not care who voted for me, especially because I know the shenanigans of a house when there's two votes. Most likely you're trying to throw people to like throw people. I don't care. I'm going to live my life and move on. And I felt like she was the only person, not the only person. She was the one that was the loudest about it, which again, you were just on the block. You really don't need to put more like spotlight on yourself by trying to play detective here and play detective loudly. Like just stay curious about it. Like stay curious about it. Try and poke around and figure it out, but don't be deliberating it so loudly in the middle of the living room. I just feel like that's not a good look.
Mm-hmm. So Kyland talking to the cameras, finishing up his plan again is to go through all the meetings and stuff. He talks about a stage two of the plan, but the feed's cut. And then when they come back, he says, and so that's what stage two will be. So I completely missed that. But he did mention that he plans to ask everyone the exact same questions. Specifically, I think the question was something along the lines of, do you have any A's in this house that you would like to tell me about? I have some, but I don't want, I'm not planning to divulge that to you. So you don't have to divulge it to me if you don't want. I hope that's not the finalized version of that question because, why? He also says that he plans on giving no information out. He only plans on taking information in. Again, this is sort of like, you know, the thought process going into these conversations. It doesn't usually end up being so straightforward. Usually when you're in a conversation, it flows a little more naturally. I hope that that's what happens here with Kyland. If he does this with everyone, I don't love it. When you're HOH, the power that the HOH grants you allows you to give information and give out safety in a way that makes people feel better about you. And if you intentionally don't make people feel good, then they're not going to feel good about you. And so his whole thing about, I'm not going to tell anybody they're safe and I'm not going to give any information. I'm just going to take it all in. That's going to make people feel nervous. And say what you will about Frenchie's HOA train, he certainly made some people feel nervous, and certainly people should have felt very nervous about Frenchie, but he tried very hard to make people feel comfortable, so much so that he overly made people feel comfortable, and that was certainly a mistake. But honestly, I would take that over making nobody feel comfortable.
Right. And I think that if you think about this, you know, as peacekeeper Kyland, who's trying to like maintain the peace by not telling anyone anything, by not telling anyone they're safe, by not telling anyone who's going up, that's going to cause paranoia still. That's going to make people feel very like nervous going into any of the meetings until the nominations are done. So that is definitely worrisome for people involved. While it does benefit him not to have drama stirred up, it does still cause paranoia, even at least a little bit. But I will say he has told some people they're safe, not many, but like basically Sarah Beth knows she's safe. I think
he told Sarah Beth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the main one.
He told Sarah Beth that she was safe, and he said to his team, well, obviously, this doesn't apply to you, but I'm telling nobody that they're safe, but you guys are obviously safe because I can't nominate you.
Right.
And then he implied to the slaughterhouse that he's sticking with the numbers, but... and then yeah. he told, when he talked to Big D and Xavier, he was like, you know, you guys, obviously, so Cookout again, and he did go through it, like Cookout and Sarah Beth are basically the lock safe people.
Yeah. I co-sign that. I do think that's the case.
Mm-hmm. So Tiffany and Claire are going to talk after they talked with Kyland. And they're going to try to run through, okay, what is the structure of the house here? And they're sitting outside the HOH room in the loft, and they have the chessboard in front of them, and they're using the chess pieces to try and get a sense of what the structure is right now. And by the way, just because I talk a lot about Tiffany, and that sort of leaves Claire, behind, but I also love Claire, and I also love that, Claire is so entrenched within the fan base that, she actually uses the term, structure when she talks about the house, which I very much appreciate. So they're trying to figure things out. Tiffany is laying out the pieces. She's saying, like, this is Frenchie. These are the people that he surrounded himself with. He's gotten all, like, the big threats around him. And then this whole French kisses thing is Frenchie, you know, taking our pieces, and she sticks them around that group, as, you know, a buffer, a protection for him. And so they're trying to figure all of this out, and they come to the conclusion that, like, we need Derek X. We need him on our side. And lo and behold, here's Derek X. He joins the conversation, and this is when they really start to figure some things out. So he comes by, Tiffany leaves briefly, and he's talking to Claire, and she eventually is like, yeah, we were just trying to figure out, like, the structure of the house right now, with these chess pieces. And he was like, yeah, I was gonna say, this is, like, the worst game of chess I've ever seen. he says, and so Tiffany comes back, and he's like, look, they're like, we can trust you, right? And he's like, yes, you can absolutely trust. You can trust me to not want to go against you. I do slip up sometimes, but so just let me talk. He's so self-deprecating. He really needs to stop that. but he says, look, this week you've got me, Hannah, you, Claire, Azza, Sarah Beth. That's six. There's 15 people, 12 votes, six is enough to tie. That's all we need to control the vote this week. So we should be, as long as none of us are on the block, we can do whatever we want with who we want to evict. And Tiffany's like, well, look, I'm not really talking about this week. I'm talking about the house. It's like, okay, well, he says, you guys should be worried right now, because what we're talking about, these people, this is what every guy in the house is scared of right now. And they are going to be trying to convince Kai to take out a woman. And so, she's like, well, here's what I've got. And she wants Derek to try and guess who the pieces are in the layout that she's put down, which is a pretty fun exercise.
It really is. This is music to my, this is beautiful. Seeing Derek X get involved, be in these conversations, and you, because, like, that's what I said last week to me, was that I think Derek X has a lot of promise in this game, has a good mind for the game, and will pick the game up with every passing week, just needs the opportunity to both stay in the house and opportunity to be included in something. And we're seeing it play out right before our eyes. I will co-sign that the self-deprecation part of everything, that needs to stop, because that's fine to a point. But then after a while, you can't be doing that. You just can't be. It gets, like, especially if you're doing it to the same people multiple times over and over and over every day, it gets grating. So he needs to not do that anymore.
Yes. So he's guessing the pieces, and they lay out the house, and he starts to lay it out here. He says, okay, this is Frenchie. He's sort of at the center. And then you have Brent and you have Whitney, and they're like a pretty tight three in there. And then sort of attached to that, you've got, okay, so Frenchie is scared of X. Frenchie is scared of Xavier. So Xavier's kind of out over here. And then he sees Christian. So Christian is like out here, not quite in the core. And then you kind of have, you know, Big D is here connected to Xavier. And then you have Alyssa, who is kind of, connecting Christian in with the group. And she's kind of working her way in toward the core, kind of in the middle of what's happening. And this is funny because Christian does see himself as the one pulling Alyssa in. But I think Derek X actually has the right of this one. Alyssa is in a better position within the slaughterhouse, whether or not she knows about the butchers, than Christian is. But that doesn't really matter to Christian right now, but he sees that there. And so he says, oh, and she said, okay, well, where do you see Kylan? And he says, okay, so, I mean, honestly, I see Kylan as closer to over here with us than over there. And he says, look, that, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I picked Kylan over Travis last week, was because I felt like Kylan could help bring together these outside pieces a lot more than Travis could. I would have liked to hear that last week. I like Derek X. It sounds a little bit revisionist, but I'll take it. He says, so if we can get Kylan, then we can rally these people, and it essentially would be 8 versus 7. Well, we don't know where Brittany is. He says, I'm not sure where Brittany is, but if we can get through this week, then we won't even need Brittany. And Tiffany says, well, I think we can get her because she's pissed about this whole Women's Alliance thing being pinned on her. He says, well, that would be good, but I don't think we need her, but that'd be good. There's the setup. They're talking about the setup, and they're pretty close to reality here, and they know what needs to be done. Tiffany says, this isn't great. You know, Frenchie's group is set up to win all the competitions. I mean, he's got a very threatening crew, essentially. She says that, you, Derek, you're going to need to get Kai to see this. I don't know if he'll listen to me. Maybe he'll listen to you. So this is an interesting thing from Tiffany. She wants Derek to be the one to pitch this to Kylan, more so than herself. I'm not sure how much she's going to take part in trying to assist this, but I'm a little bit worried about laying the bulk of this on Derek X. He has the bulk of the information, sure, but he also has the least credibility in the house. And I'm a little bit worried that if Kylan doesn't want to believe what Derek is saying, then he might use the excuse of, you don't have a lot of credibility, you know?
Right. So wouldn't the best move for, I guess, is it because she's convinced they're not going to get a group meeting and it's all going to be one-on-ones? Because wouldn't the best move to be for the three of them to go in together, given that there's two people from his team and two people that he trusts and Derek X, who he's had a friendship, a connection with? I feel like that would be the best way to present it. I mean, cherry on top, if you can bring Sarah Beth and make the five person thing right there. But I'm going to go ahead and assume that Tiffany's saying this because it's going to come down to one-on-ones and she's going to bank on Derek X. It makes me worried that Derek X is going to lead the helm here and be the one to give this information to Kylan. But again, like I said, I think Derek is picking the game up real nicely. I think he's got a good mind for this game. I think he can explain this to Kylan, but I don't think Kylan will be the most receptive to him. Now, if somehow Sarah Beth was the one that they said to go give this information over, then you have a slam dunk. They don't know that. They don't know that Sarah Beth would be the best one to go do this.
Yeah. So they continue to talk. He says, oh yeah, we need to get Kylan to see that trio. They are the dangerous ones. And he says, here's my guess on the pecking order in that group. It's Frenchie, Brent, Whitney, Xavier, Alyssa, Big D, and then Christian at the bottom. A little bit wrong there. Xavier, I think, is at the bottom of that group, but not too far off there. And Kylan, obviously, like, way down at the bottom, barely even in this group. And he says that one of the reasons why he feels always Christian's been talking to him, and he's feeling a little bit better about Christian. Tiffany says, don't believe Christian. Don't believe everything Christian tells you. You know, Alyssa still thinks that you're the reason that she was on the block. And I think Christian's probably just trying to cover himself with you. Derek felt like he was a little bit reluctant to believe that. But again, there's a lot of trust for Christian in the non-Slaughterhouse people. And it is tricky to get them to believe that Christian is not fully with them at the moment. We'll see how long that lasts. Tiffany also says, we definitely don't want Alyssa. She's tainted already. No Alyssa. Derek says, oh, and Brent has told me that he will never trust Kylan again. She said, tell Kylan that. She says, look, Derek, you're smart. I've told you this before. I'm never going to go against you in this game. I need you in this game. We need you in this game. And I'm so glad we have you. We need to make this work. He says, when I was trying to use the veto, Kylan, he explains the whole situation where Frenchie got mad at Kylan for speaking up. He was like, I mean, I think anybody would have spoken up at that point, but Frenchie was mad at him and it was pretty uncool. He says that Frenchie told me that Kylan tried to make a final two with him, and he told me that I shouldn't trust Kylan. I asked Kylan about it. He was like, absolutely not. And to be honest, I kind of believe that he did, but whatever. And Tiffany's like, you can use that. And she says, you can't trust Frenchie. You can't trust him. That man creates a spider web. She says, he's not lying about going fishing. All Frenchie is a fisherman casting out his rod, looking for bait. And if you have your mouth open, you're going to get caught. My mom always told me a fish could not get caught if he doesn't have his mouth open. Close your mouth, open your ears, only open your mouth when the time is right. And definitely don't open it for no fucking fisherman.
This is magical stuff. Magical. Listen, this was easily the best game conversation we've had on the feed so far for me. If anyone's trying to find this, it starts at like 5 a.m. Eastern and then runs all the way to like once Derek X comes in around 5:30, goes all the way to like 6:10, 6:15. It's so good. It's so, so good. And I loved it a lot. Also, Taryn was literally quoting. Taryn's not out here willy-nilly dropping French bombs. So relax everyone.
It was honestly, I was speaking it and it was so powerful that I forgot to censor the final word there. I censored it in my notes, but I was just caught up in the moment, guys. I'm sorry.
Hey, don't you regret it. That was beautiful, man. That was beautiful.
They talk more about Christian playing both sides of the house. And they say, look, if Kylan isn't willing to put up Frenchie, then maybe the alternative would be Whitney and Brent, hopefully. So the plan here from Tiffany to Derek is you should try to be the last person to talk to Kylan. They'll be the last person to talk to him. Let them weave their webs. And then you go in there, line it all up and cut it off. And you need to checkmate him with this conversation. So I would say similar to what I was concerned about with Kylan and his, you know, one-on-one talks and his plan for those. I don't love that plan from Kylan. I don't expect it to actually happen that way. And I have a similar thought with this. I don't love the plan of Derek X being the last person to talk to Kylan with this information, because if he's the last person to talk to Kylan, Kylan will have gone through hours of conversations prior to his conversation with Derek. And he will have, over those hours, probably come up with whatever it is he wants to do by the time he talks to Derek, and he will be entrenched in those ideas and plans and thoughts. And if Derek comes in at that point and drops information that conflicts with what Kyland had already kind of decided, well, I was kind of thinking this, there's a relief to having a plan. There's a relief to, I don't have to stress about it anymore. This is what I'm doing. It's fine. When I chose a moving company to travel, to move across the country, I was very quick about it, and I just wanted it over and over with. And, I ignored some red flags just to be done with, like, okay, it's done. I don't have to deal with it anymore. And now, I'm standing here at a kitchen counter, on a laptop, and my feed is cutting, and, might not have stuff for like another 3 weeks. So, be careful about the power of just wanting it over with. And if you come in at the last second and say everything that you just did might be irrelevant because of this information, there's going to be a strong cognitive bias that will potentially prevent Kyland from believing him or taking it in or just even wanting to have to deal with it. So I'm concerned about that. Especially because what I would like is for Derek to get in there early, give Kyland the information, and then Kyland talks to Sarah Beth, he talks to Tiffany, he talks to Claire, he talks to other people who can then back him up, and say, no, this is not just Derek X being a wild card. We believe this too. We think this is what you should do as well. And this should be what you're looking for in the conversations moving forward, stuff like that. Now, Tiffany is concerned that if Derek X tells him the information too soon, then he'll want to talk to Frenchie about it and cross-reference and all of that, which is a fair concern. But I think that if he is likely to want to do something like that, I think he'll do it regardless. And I don't want him to come up with a plan and feel like he's got something locked in, and then at the last minute something else is dropped, especially if he's already talked to Tiffany and Claire and Sarah Beth and none of them mentioned it enough. And so if he, say for instance, he talks to Tiffany, he talks to Claire, he talks to Sarah Beth, and they're like, yeah, we're thinking this, we're thinking these people would be great, so on and so forth, you should probably go after these other people, like, that's all in good, all well and good. And then he talks to Derek and he's like, this is why. And be like, well, those are reasons, but like, that's not what I was hearing from Claire. That's not what I was hearing from Tiffany. That's not what I was hearing from Sarah Beth. And I don't know. I think the persuasive power here is not quite as good if you go along this angle, but I don't think it's necessarily going to play out that way. Again, you often have these plans for like, it's going to go exactly this way, but then in the moment you tend to naturally gravitate towards something that is the most persuasive. And so my hope is that we're going to see something, that works, whether it is this plan to a T or something that is more improvised. The plan is to approach Kyland and try to convince him of the truth, which is that he is not in good with these people and that he needs to take a shot at them and that he should join some kind of group with Tiffany and Claire and Sarah Beth and Derek X. So that's the plan. We still don't even know where he stands right now, if he did plan on going after Derek X or if he did plan on putting Frenchie on the block or whatever it is. That's the idea for today. And it's going to be an interesting day because we're finally going to see where this week might go, because it can go very well, mm-hmm. or it could be a very, very disastrous rain.
Which I'm not ready for. I'm not ready for it yet. To quickly also give my two cents on the structure of how they should want this pitch to Kyland. If you want Derek X to be the heavy, you want him to come in with the most information, let him go before y'all. He lays it all out, and then if the rest of you want to subtly hint at it but you don't want to be the one that's like being the main push, you also say things that line up with what Derek X proposed but in a more subtle way, and then it builds up on it a little bit, and the more people that come in that are his allies, like, hey, all my allies are kind of saying the same thing, I vibe with this, I like this. And then in the middle of all that, while everyone's having their meetings, you can also fill everyone else in. You can fill Sarah Beth in on it. Like, hey, Sarah Beth, I know the five of us, we're going to do something. Here's what we're thinking. Because that could also help. I don't exactly know if Sarah Beth would be as involved. I'm a little worried But again, cautiously optimistic of what's going on, what's going to happen today. Now, the difference between this week and last week is seemingly last week we had an extra day where so then nominations and wildcard were on separate days. Today is a Friday. We still don't have the wildcard comp. We still don't have nominations. I'm assuming we're getting both today. And I'm assuming that means we're going to get two bigger feed cuts today. One likely in the early afternoon, if I had to bet on it. One at like early evening, like 5, 6 p.m. maybe.
I would expect one soon for them to pick players for wildcard.
Oh, that too. Three.
Yeah. Then a couple hours later, it probably will go down for a few hours for the wild card and then post wild card stuff. And then it'll probably be up for another couple hours and then back down for nomination. So there may not be a lot of time for the discussion of these nominations as well. So it's again, like another reason why, like Tiffany went as far as to suggest to Derek that if Kylan tries to talk to him earlier than being the last person, that he should say, can we wait? I have things to say to you later. Like intentionally try to be the last person. And you just, especially in a packed day like this, potentially you just don't have that kind of time. And the last thing I want is for this to echo the Big Brother 21, Nick Macaroni week, even more and have Derek X tried to get into Kylan's ear at the last minute before nominations. And he doesn't have enough time to actually change his mind. And now Derek X is on the block and the big alliance gets together and blames him for everything again. And it's undeniable all over.
We'll call that Plan Z, the darkest timeline. Hopefully doesn't happen. Could, hopefully doesn't. I mean, I think, again, the wild card does add interesting. So the one team, the Jokers, pretty much sounds like the nominee from that group to play is Frenchie. I think the other two hinted, Taryn, at going for a random draw. So I don't think the other two teams are outright deciding somebody. Some of them just don't want to, like Alyssa doesn't want to play. She does not want to be a part of it at all. So we'll see what goes on with that. Hey, maybe Derek X ends up getting safety. And then that might be what we needed. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot to go down today. If I was recommending things to people, I would say glue your butts to your computers, because this is going to be a very important day, not only for this nomination, not only for this week. Genuinely, this could have ripple effects that'll go to the end of the game. It yes. really does. So a lot at stake here today.
And I want to be clear here, because we've been talking about, like, we think that this is best for Kylan because he's on the bottom of an alliance. But the reason Kylan might not target the Slaughterhouse is because he may feel like I'm in a great position. I'm aligned with most of the people in the house. Brittany's one of the few people I'm not aligned with. And if I put up, say, Brittany and Derek X, then I don't really piss anybody off. And I'm still good with everybody, and that's a safer place to be than betraying an 8-person alliance, and having potentially all of those people coming for you. But one, be selfish in Big Brother. Don't play for a team. Don't play for the house. Play for your game. And don't be afraid to take what you want from the game. Because, you know, if Memphis taught us anything, it's be selfish in Big Brother. Take what you want, ask for forgiveness later. That is how Big Brother is played. If he goes for Slaughterhouse, they're going to have to deal with it. And they're not going to want to be like, oh, we just lost one member, but we're a team and we're going to stick together and we're going to get revenge. That's not how it works. If Kylan targets Slaughterhouse, they're going to completely explode. Like they're not going to be a thing. And even if they were a thing, even if your worst fears come true, I think you have to look at it this way. Let's say he takes out Frenchie or Brent, right? Either one, whatever. Okay, so Slaughterhouse is now down one player. Kylan was one of those 8 players, so they're down 2 players, 6 people. Then Cookout. Xavier and Big D are Cookout people. They're not going for Kylan before anybody else, even if they do remain in Slaughterhouse. So it's now down to 4 people. that he needs to be worried about. Okay, so let's say he takes out Frenchie, and those four people are now Brent, Christian, Alyssa, and Whitney. They are now a four-person group who maybe think, I'm going to get revenge on Kyland, or maybe think, we're four to maybe six people in a house of 14. We need to start working something. And they're going to do what's best for their game from that point forward. And these are four people that, you know, Brent and Christian kind of get along, but there's also like a competitive thing that they have going on. And then if Frenchie is there, they barely trust Frenchie. And Kyland in the meantime will have at least five, at least six with Azza. I mean, with the cookout in general, he'll have way more. It leaves him in a very, very good position, much better than his current one. And it puts him in a power position within that group of people, within the house in general. So it's a very, very good play for Kyland. And I would really like to see him make it. But there, again, there's a lot of sort of like safety incentives to just feeling like, I'll just do what pisses people off the least. And oh boy, if Kyland, and again, there's no indication necessarily that he will, but if he did target Derek X the week after Derek X used the veto on him in order to please an alliance that actively wanted him gone last week, whew.
Literally, one of two things is going to happen today, Taryn. It's either step one, put up Frenchie and Brent. Step two, benefit greatly in your game. Step three, have the fandom lose their minds and completely back you. That's the best scenario. Then there's the other side. Put Derek X up, hurt your game, hurt the fandom by putting up Derek X. He's either going to have it all or have none of it. We'll see which direction he goes with it. It's absolutely wild. I know that a lot of people said, well, Kyland didn't need this. I agree. Kompai didn't need this. It's probably going to hurt his game a little bit. We needed this though. We got a very good, if Brent had won, it would have been such a foregone conclusion. This update would have been done 40 minutes ago. We would have been fine, being sad and dreary for like the whole week. We have hope. We have optimism. We have mess. It's a great recipe for a great week of Big Brother content. So I'm here for it. I have specific directions I want the game to go. If it doesn't go, at least the ride will give me emotions, not make me happy or sad. Just make me feel things potentially. So there you go.
Yes. Another thing that a lot of people have been sort of like excited about here is that Kyland is the first black man to win an HOH
since Devin. Like, that's 16, so 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, Celebrity US 1, Celebrity US 2. Or are we not counting those? Oh, OTT,
I don't think we're counting. I don't think we're counting Celebrity because I do think Ricky won.
Did Ricky Williams win? Yeah, well,
I think he won the HOH,
yeah. That's six seasons, man. That's six seasons. Six seasons. Like, you know how many players have come into that house and left the house since then? Like, about what, 16 per season? Six times 16? Doing math live is a mistake, but I'm going to do it. 96? 98? No. Damn, 96. I had it first time. I don't know why I doubted myself. Yeah, it's a lot of people that came through and left. So it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I don't know how we got here. I'm happy we did get here. I'm happy that bad streak is broken and that BB23 is making changes. Love to see it. Love to see it.
There we go. All right. So that's what we have for you today. There's a lot of different ways this can go. I will say, personally, I feel like I came on this podcast. I want to warn you guys of the danger. I want to talk about how disastrous it could be. But I also want to talk about how amazing it could be. And if I had to guess, I think that Kyland will go in the direction of the light. You know, Kingdom Hearts is not darkness, it's light. Booyah. And and Kyland is going to the light. That's what I think. But I really hope he doesn't prove me wrong here.
No, I feel, again, cautiously optimistic is my phrase of the day. I feel very cautiously optimistic about everything going down. And remember, audience, listeners, chat, whoever is here, remember this. This really could have been a Brent HOH, and we would have had none of this hope. It would have been zero hope and just sadness. So let's count those blessings, and then let's hope for more blessings on this lovely Friday.
Is it better or worse? Because if Brent had won and done like the whatever thing, like solidifies the slaughterhouse, whatever, like that would have been annoying. But I almost feel like if Kylan does it for them, it's worse, right?
If Kylan does it for them, it's worse. Don't say that. But at least there's a little room. There's a little room for that not to happen, right? There's a little room for that not to happen. Also, I know that Derek X is going to be, if Derek X is the one that, because I think ultimately, if we're losing one of the people we really like, Derek X is the likely nominee. I would be sad, but I've also, because of the structure of this game, because of the way he was like treated at the beginning, I felt like he's been on borrowed time from the beginning. So it wouldn't hurt me as much as say if like a Claire goes out, because Claire was fine. Claire was living, and now Claire's been completely removed. I don't want Derek X to go. I love Derek X. I want him around. I need him around. But again, I'm still erring on the side of caution, and at least we had the hope. At least we had the hope. That's what I'm going to bank on, is at least we had the hope. But no, Kylan's fine. Kylan's fine. We'll be fine. Please, I beg, we'll be fine. Hopefully you and Leon are celebrating tomorrow morning and not sad. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And you know, this is definitely a test for Kylan and his game, but I also think it's a test for Tiffany and her game. I don't know. I think she does know this. I see like an update from just like 10 minutes ago where Tiffany says, if the wrong person goes this week, we're screwed. So I hope that she understands, and I mean, reason to think that she doesn't, that this is vitally important for her. And that she should be using every weapon in her arsenal to push as hard as she can to make something happen here. I don't want her to leave anything on the table. I don't want her to leave it entirely in Derek X's hands. I need her to push as hard as she can, because I do think it's vitally important for her game. So, is, I think, the first real test of her game as well. And a big potential for reward if she lands it. So there it is. That's what we've got. Thank you guys for joining us here this morning. I will be live with Rob later today, probably around when the feeds go down for the wildcard competition. We will also be doing an exit interview with Travis, so look out for that. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. I'm live during every episode watching along with you guys. I also do streams about the stock watch if you need help with that. You know, eventually when I have things, I'll stream other things as well. So find me there. You can also find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaren. Puya, what are you up to?
I'll be live tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. We have fun. Last week we talked a bunch of Big Brother stuff. Then we answered some questions. It was a good time. You can find me on Twitter at @PuyaIsm. Yeah, Taren. And inevitably, when the movers decide Taren can play Among Us again, you'll be back playing Among Us on a Sunday. Till then, we'll hold your spot. We've moved it up to 2 p.m. Eastern now so that people can get their Among Us in and get the Big Brother episode in and the podcast later. So it works out both ways. And 90 Day Fiance still going strong. We had a great recap with Rob this upcoming week. It'll be me and Sasha talking about the latest episode. So definitely check it out over there. Oh, and I had the pleasure, Taren, I had the pleasure of the honor, rather, of taking Danny's spot on News AF while he was absent to talk some very weird news from around the world with Tyson and Rob, which was delightful this past week as well. It's been a fun week.
All right. Well, thank you guys again for joining us today. Keep your mouth shut and your ears open. I'll see you next time.
Love that.